I had to hunt to find a watch. Space travelers tended not to take them when they were crossing between systems. In the end, I found one that had been calibrated for Yellowstone time, its face a series of concentric dials, around which tiny emerald planets ticked to mark the time. I slipped it on my wrist, the watch pleasantly hefty.
"You can't just steal his possessions," Quirrenbach said meekly.
"Vadim's welcome to file a complaint."
"That's not the point. What you're doing isn't any better than..."
"Look," I said, "do you seriously imagine he bought any of this stuff? It's all stolen, probably from passengers who aren't aboard anymore.
Nonetheless, some of it might have been stolen recently. We should be making every effort to return these goods to their rightful owners. Don't you agree with me?"
"On some distant theoretical level, just possibly." I continued my search, but there's no way we'll ever know who those owners were. I didn't notice anybody coming forward in the Commons. Anyway, what does it matter to you?
It's called retaining the vestigial trace of a conscience, Tenor.
After that thug nearly killed you.
The principle still applies.
Well, if you think it'll help you sleep at night, you're very welcome to leave me alone while I search his belongings. Come to think of it, did I actually ask you to follow me here?
Not as such, no.
His face contorted in an agony of indecision as he glanced through the contents of one open drawer, pulling out a sock which he studied sadly for some moments.
"Damn you, Tenor. I hope you're right about his lack of influence."
"Oh, I don't think we need worry ourselves about that."
"You're quite certain?"
"I've a reasonable grasp of low life, believe me."
"Yes, well, I suppose you could be right, for the sake of argument."
Slowly at first, but with increasing enthusiasm, Quirrenbach started trousering Vadim's booty indiscriminately, wads of stoner currency mainly. I reached over and pocketed two bundles of cash before Quirrenbach made it all vanish.
"Thanks. They'll do nicely."
"I was about to pass some to you."
"Of course you were." I flicked through the notes. "Is this stuff still worth anything?"
"Yes," he said thoughtfully. "In the canopy, anyway. I've no idea what passes for currency in the mulch, but I doubt that it can hurt, can it?"
I helped myself to some more. Better safe than sorry, that's my philosophy. I continued searching, digging through more of the same junk and jewelry, until I found what looked like an experiential playback device. It was slimmer and sleeker than anything I'd ever seen on Sky's Edge, cleverly engineered so that in its collapsed form it was no larger than a Bible. I found a vacant pocket and slipped the unit home, along with a cache of experientials which I assumed might have some value in their own right. "This plague we were talking about," I said.
"Yes?"
"I don't understand how it did so much damage."
"That's because it wasn't a biological one. I mean, not in the way we'd usually understand such things."
He paused and stopped what he was doing.
"Machines, that's what it went for. Made almost all machines above a certain complexity level stop working, or start working in ways they were never meant to."
I shrugged. "That doesn't sound that bad."
"Not if the machines are merely robots and environmental systems, like the ones in this ship, but this was Yellowstone. Most of the machines were microscopic devices inside human beings, already intimately linked to mind and flesh. What happened to the glitter band was just symptomatic of something far more horrific happening on the human scale, in the same way that, say, the lights going out all over Europe in the late 14th century was indicative of the arrival of the Black Death."
"I'll need to know more."
"Then query the system in your room, or Vadim's, for that matter. Or you